Okay, ready?
Let's do it. Oh, wow. Just had a bit of a moment.
It's the show that celebrates WWE. It's Gorilla Position.
Hello, you. And welcome back to Gorilla Position. I'm a champion. Thank you so, so much for hitting the download button on this, your pro wrestling / sports entertainment podcast of pleasure. Oh, can't actually believe I'm doing this intro again. My name is James D'Lo, your host and your guide through the wonderful world of WWE. Thank you for tuning in to this episode 300, the big 300, who would believe it, of the biggest and best WWE podcast in the UK, the only show of its kind to be supported, endorsed and promoted by WWE themselves. Where have you been? Hey, where have you been all my life? What a journey it has been to bring GP back to the pod waves. Before we get into all that, though, I ain't here alone. Oh, no. You will have seen from our epic promo across social media last Friday. Thank you for all the love for that, by the way. At WWGP, give us a follow on all our socials if you don't do so already. We're even on TikTok now. Would you believe that? Far too old for that nonsense. But we're on TikTok at WWGP. The promo dropped on Friday. Thank you for all the love. But if that promo proved anything, it proved that this show ain't just about me at all. It's about my Gorilla Position brothers, the ones who have been with me the whole way through thick and thin, the good, the bad, the ups and downs, too sweet indeed. The celebrations, the heartbreaks, we all know about those. 3 years later, the three goosebumps are back together. We are reunited. Give me a too sweet, lads. Sat here in our brand new Gorilla Position studio. Do you like this? Here in central London. He is, first of all, he is a writer. He is the editor of Kick Magazine. I mean, I still don't know what that is. I can't believe it's still going. About some kind
neither
of
do I, actually.
Some kind of football nonsense. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ash Rose.
Thank you. Oh, it was so good to hear that intro again.
Oh, I got choked up
I
doing
know,
that.
A little bit, yeah, I know.
Got choked up doing that.
It's amazing to be back.
It is.
And look at this. I mean, Hasbro's, Galoob's, GP, it's literally like a GP world.
It's the GP universe.
It is.
Right here in central London.
I love it. Build it. Absolutely love. And to be back with you two, we haven't introduced the other one yet, but yeah, to be back is, it's all my dreams come true.
Well, thank you. And it's a dream to have you back, Ash.
Oh, thank you.
And regarding the studio, build it and they shall come.
Mm-hmm.
And he has come. Lest we forget, rapper, DJ, podcaster, creator, WWE lifer, the man they call Skillet.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, this is amazing, man. I'm so glad to be back. It's great to do this with you guys again. I love you guys.
Can we get a macho man straight off the bat?
Absolutely. They've been asking for it online, so I've got to make sure that we do that. All right, Macho Man Randy Savage and the Gorilla Position.
I really want to say I've missed that.
No, I had to get it out of the way so that it's done then.
Yes, no,
yeah, 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 yeah.
No, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
And we should also mention Digby, my dog.
Yes.
He's under here. Yeah,
who,
yeah,
when
under
when here. We were last on air, I realised he was probably 9 months old. Now he's 5. Hello, my boy. He's sat.
He's the big dog.
He's sat the under, big the, dog. Under the desk here in the GP studio.
Oh, he's got a bit camera shy. He's gone to the corner.
Oh, Diggs. There he is. He's sniffing the WWE Championship belt in the corner there. So we I mean,
where do we start?
Oh, yeah, how are you feeling, James?
So
what's happened in 3 years?
So
exactly.
What do you want to talk about? No, we will obviously get into that. But firstly, a massive, massive thank you to our brand new Woo! Sponsors, the guys that made this all possible, ladies and gentlemen, WWE 2K24.
Oh yeah.
Brilliant partners for GP for the whole of 2024. Absolutely delighted. I'm really excited about this game. Last year's game was brilliant. It was really, really good. It was the best in a long while. We've seen gameplay footage over the last couple of days they've dropped. And this, the 2K24 looks proper lush.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Are we excited
absolutely.
About it this release?
Very much so. I mean, I've been an avid fan of 2K games consistently since 2K13.
Is that the first one?
I don't know. It wow. could. I think it could maybe, be 2K12. Yeah, yeah, I could be wrong about that. But since 2K13 is when I first started playing it, and I completely love it. The way the updates of this new game, brilliant. And there's a mode I really fell in love with where you have two wrestlers that kind of trade blows with each other.
The trading blows feature is excellent.
So many realistic features that you could tell it was designed by wrestling fans, and that's why it's amazing.
The graphics are insane.
Yeah,
like absolutely. When you look at it, you're getting to that point now where you're like, you have to kind of squint a little bit to know if it's actual computer gameplay or you're watching the real thing, and that's. I suppose that's where everyone wants to get to eventually, but the graphics are insane.
And it's always the question, it's like, why do they release another game, you know, each year? Could they really improve things from last year? They really have, but in a subtle way. Yeah. It's not massively different, but they've made subtle differences to make the gameplay even more realistic. The game is out March the 8th, so just a few weeks away, right?
Yeah.
So it is, what's the date today? We are Wednesday, 7th of February. God, 3 years since we've been away. Unbelievable. But yeah, just a few weeks away, March the 8th, the game comes out. The standard edition cover star.
Who else?
Mr. Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, man. We want Cody.
Hashtag we want Cody.
It's a lovely cover as well, though. Like, it's not just the standard, like, I like the way they've done it. It's like there's a few shots.
It feels so different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a sort of montage on the front cover. So that edition is out March the 8th. The deluxe edition, cover stars, fully deserved, Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair.
Yep.
That's out early access 3 days before the standard edition. So that comes out March the 5th. And look at this.
This is beautiful.
Gorgeous poster behind me in the studio. 40 years of WrestleMania edition. The cover stars include The Rock. Matt, go on, do it, Macho Man.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
It's very good. It's very good.
I appreciate that.
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
The release date for that is also March the 5th, so 3 days early before the standard edition. And PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 4 Pro, Xbox One, SNX, Nintendo Switch, and you can stream it on the PC. So yeah, definitely go pre-order the game. We are, and I'm not just saying this. 2K have been incredible partners in the build-up to this. I wanted to bring GP back with a bang, with a lot of noise. I think the promo did that justice. It was exactly how I'd imagined it.
Epic is the word.
It was a brilliant promo, man.
Do you know, I wrote the script for that promo, walking Digby in the fields.
Oh, beautiful.
Around near my house. Yeah.
Energy restored.
And yeah.
That was my
passion
favorite,
reignited. The biggest WWE podcast in the UK returns.
Amazing.
But the thing is, and you know what? It's going to sound cheesy as hell, but Stephanie McMahon once put a post on her Instagram, and it was a quote. It's a famous quote. I don't quite know who said the quote originally, but she posted it and it just simply said, if you can visualize it, you can make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And getting a bit choked up again, but to be sat here in the GP studio, a studio that I helped design and it's been built in our office building here in Soho, to have this with you guys back and have 2K as the sponsors to bring it all to life is pretty sensational.
I think we should give James a You Deserve It chance.
You deserve it! Come on.
You deserve it!
All right, thanks. All right,
sorry.
I appreciate that.
I apologize.
That's embarrassing. And just final thing on 2K, 2K Showcase of the Immortals. So for this year's showcase mode, WWE 2K24 puts players in control of the most iconic WrestleMania matchups in history. 2K's distinctive slingshot tech seamlessly morphs gameplay to live action footage and back again for the most immersive WrestleMania video game experience to date. Favorite WrestleMania match of all time?
Oh, you're throwing that one out, aren't you?
Oh, right. We're starting like this.
Nah.
Well, it, you know, 40 years ago.
Yeah, there's a lot to
choose from.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not just saying this because they're our sponsors. That artwork is beautiful.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
A poster I'd have. Well,
you have got it on your wall.
Yeah. We've got it on the wall of the GP studio, which might as well be my bedroom.
Yeah.
Favorite WrestleMania match if we're looking back over the last 40 years, skills?
There's so many to choose
from. Which match do you want to play in the game?
I think I would kick off with Bret versus Austin. WrestleMania 13.
We've got a framed picture. I don't think the cameras can pick it up, but just down there, we've got a framed picture of Austin and Brett, because that's one of my favorite feuds of all time.
I quit match.
It was a submission match.
That's it.
A lot of people forget.
Yeah, it was a submission match. You don't get many of those.
You know, I'll have to play Charlotte versus Rhea. Hopefully they'll be on there.
Oh, you got that today.
Charlotte versus Rhea. Yeah.
That's a classic match.
That was a good match.
You look back at that match from last year's Mania.
Yeah, it's good.
That's a classic.
Yeah, it was very, very good. Ash, what about you? Favourite Mania match of all time?
I think two always stand out for me. No surprise, 90s as well. I'll go WrestleMania 7. I think that Warrior's best ever match. Against Macho Man
Randy Savage, absolutely right.
I think as a kid, like the story, like I wasn't completely aware of the whole Elizabeth thing at that point because I was young. But like I got sucked into that at the ending when Elizabeth is in the crowd.
I couldn't believe it.
I know exactly. You just don't understand. Like this is amazing. The emotion and then watching it back as an adult and seeing Randy bring that match out of like we know what we got with the Warrior, but that is actually one of his probably his best match he's ever had.
Yeah.
So that'd be one. And then the other is Rock Hogan. I mean, to me, that's WrestleMania. Yeah. That's Ronzil. That's WrestleMania in a tin. Like, if you want to show someone what WrestleMania means, show them that moment of Rock Hogan, you know, face to face in that ring in Toronto. And
that was booked to perfection as well.
Talk about goosebumps.
That was booked to perfection.
I don't remember Ronzil being there. Was he the special guest ref?
Ron Killins?
Well, I mean, yeah.
How about you?
Stories, we'll talk a lot about this episode, I feel.
Yeah.
The return episode of GP. Oh, what about me? I mean, mine is also Austin Brett, WrestleMania 13. I'm a sucker for the Iron Man.
Brett and Sean. Yeah, I love that match.
A lot of people slag that match off.
Yeah, that's a great match.
That's a great match.
Mm. I think it's a good match. And just the memories it holds for me. But yeah, yes. 40 years of WrestleMania this year. We're on the road to WrestleMania. What a great time to bring Gorilla Position back. 2K, by the way, I also love now how you can do moves on and off the tables.
Yeah. And they've got so many more modes. Like there's like ambulance mode.
Yeah, the ambulance match mode.
And backstage brawls. And I think you can be the ref as well. Like you can, in part of their storyline, you can be the special guest ref, which is a cool kind of feature to have.
And they've got different choices of referees you can be. There's like seven different choices of referees you can choose from. Like Charles Robson, you can choose Charles Robson.
Really?
Little Nate.
You could choose, I can't remember the name of some of the referees now, but the young ladies that's on Raw and SmackDown. You could choose them.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
Yeah, yeah.
The backstage brawls are cool. Mm-hmm. They've been improved, featuring new areas and interactive elements. The casket match has also been added to 2K24. Undertaker versus HBK, battling it out to shut the lid on their opponent.
Amazing.
Yeah, so many great things coming up with WWE 2K24. Thank you again, brilliant partners here at GP. Before we sort of get into, I wanted to sort of change the show up a little bit. Now we're back. I think in previous years we've always gone long. We've always broken down every single match of every single TV show. I think what I wanted to do this time around was keep it a bit tighter, if we can. I know sometimes we'll go long. And by the way, shout out to producer Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Who is in the room. Shout louder.
Hello.
There he is. You've scared Digby.
Yes.
Out of order. Producer Ben is in the room. Daniel, one of our esteemed production assistants, is in the room as well. So we've got a great team here at Starstruck, my production company here in London. But yeah, Ben, I feel like you'll be involved in the show as we go forward.
I'd love to.
A little new character. And Ben is also... I'll tell you what, we've got Ash here. Hit the Ash's old jingle. Have we got that in the system?
Oh, it's been too long since we've heard this.
Come on.
This is how we do.
Yeah!
You can't win anything with kids.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, yes, you did. All
righty then.
To infinity.
Booyakasha.
And beyond.
Indeed, I did have a relationship with Miss Lewinsky that was not appropriate.
Oh, told you.
Bloody love the 90s.
Yeah! Amazing.
The biker grove at the end.
That's
the chef kiss to the...
That was brilliant.
I bloody love the 90s. I don't want to forget about new listeners.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have a lot of GP OGs.
Yeah, alumni.
Listening to this first episode back. But I imagine we'll have a lot of new listeners as well. So to you... new listeners, Ash Rose is completely obsessed with the 90s.
Mr. Perfect t-shirt that I'm wearing here.
Yeah.
Still got that t-shirt.
I love this t-shirt. It's a classic.
One of the goats.
Yeah.
So yeah, we created that. Bloody love the 90s. Yeah.
It's
jingle.
The best decade.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm actually also obsessed with the 90s, but I feel like I can't encroach on your gimmick.
No, it's fine. It's a gimmick that's open to anyone.
And just, I also want to say thank you to all the listeners for their support over the last few years. Like when I made the decision to stop the show, and I don't want to get too indulgent about it and go on about it for too long, but I do feel like the listeners maybe deserve a little bit of an explanation as to why we disappeared. Nothing major went on at all, but it was the Christmas holidays. We were coming back for the new series. We were still kind of in the middle of the pandemic. UK had just gone into another lockdown. Things were just very turbulent at the time. We were homeschooling our kids. Well, my wife was homeschooling our kids.
Yeah, don't bring us back to that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just awful. At that point, I actually had a deal with an entertainment platform for GP that was on the table. Suddenly, because I think a lot of businesses and brands and platforms were being very cautious at the time, suddenly that deal fell away. And it was the prospect of bringing the show back in January after the Christmas break. And we know what it's like with WWE. There's so much content to watch. There's no off season. Mm-hmm. It's like and podcast creators out there will completely understand this. Once the train leaves the station, you're on the tracks. You can't slow it down. Everyone expects a great show every week. And it got to the point where I was, to be really honest and transparent, was dreading it.
Right.
And I felt really overwhelmed by it. And I just thought, if this is my passion project and this is what I love and what I fall asleep thinking about so often, it's the first thing I think about when I wake up so often. If it had got to the point where I was dreading doing the show, mm-hmm. something just had to change.
It needed a break. Yeah.
I had to just take a step back. And it's not because... And also the time it takes to produce the show and watch all the content and make notes, because our listeners deserve a really good show. I never want to be the podcast that comes on and is like, oh, no, I haven't watched that. Yeah. So I've got nothing to say.
I hate when I listen to a podcast and say, I didn't see that. And like, no, that's kind of your job.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
See that.
And so I always want to deliver, the GP faithful are just that. They're so faithful. And I wanted to produce a good show for them. And we make some money from like the live shows, for example. Mm. I think we reached the highest of highs with the Seth and Becky show.
That was a great night.
We did at the Indigo at the O2. It was so fantastic. Sellout crowd, massive, massive achievement. So we make money from that, and we make a bit of money from podcast ads and things like that. But it just wasn't enough to justify the time I was spending producing a good show that the listeners deserved. And it wasn't that I was like, oh, well, if the money's not good enough, I don't want to do it because I don't love it enough. It was that I love it so much, I wanted to spend more time doing it. And in order to justify doing that, the deal had to be right. Mm. And I made a promise to myself that I'd only bring the show back if it was worthwhile for you guys, for me, for everyone. And I thought, if you can't rely on yourself to keep a promise, you can't rely on anyone.
Well, it's good words.
So that was the decision. I held out and I held out, and I have been working, and this is the God's honest truth, I've been working day in, day out over the last 3 years to bring the show back. And finally, we've done it. So
amazing.
Yeah, I'm very pleased. But thank you to all the listeners who supported us. I mean, God knows how many days it's been, but it's been 3 years, and every single week we've had messages from people, whether it's tweets, DMs, text messages, WhatsApps, whatever, emails.
Well, even when I go, I was going to events and we'd see each other at events and stuff. Like, you'd meet someone there at least three times. Someone would, within the conversation, would be like, oh, when's it coming back? Or I really missed the show. Or, and where's, if it was on my own, like, where's, like, we all just hang around, which we should do. Right, where's Skillet? Where's James? Where's Matt? Whoever was on the show at the time. Yeah. Like, people were always so keen and happy and wanted more from us, and that's really nice.
And I feel we've always appreciated that as well. Like, I feel we had a sense of duty to make sure that this is a passion for all of us, so we love the love that we receive from our GP listeners, and it's truly appreciated that they've always stuck by us. So,
to think 3 years later, people still message every single week saying, when's the podcast coming back? That really is remarkable to me. So thank you to, and when the show went away, not only like literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages came through, and people even recorded video blogs of them talking about what GP meant to them.
So amazing.
And
it's crazy.
Uploaded it to YouTube, sent me a private link, and I was watching these videos of people just talking about GP and how it had become part of their routine. And I remember feeling like that way about shows, whether it's like radio shows or TV shows, when you connect to hosts and things like that. And I just, to think that we were that for anyone is amazing. And one last shout out I just want to do, sorry, this has got a bit indulgent, but is to a guy called Gareth Carter, who, and I actually mentioned this guy to you guys on Zoom we had yesterday.
He messaged me as well.
Did he?
Yeah.
So this guy is a listener of the show, has been listening for years, and he sent me a message saying that a few years ago he lost his son, which is obviously just, you know, for any parents out there, you will just know that that is the absolute worst nightmare and the worst possible thing that could ever, ever happen. And he said that GP really helped him out in his darkest days. And to think that we even made a tiny bit of difference to someone going through something so horrendous just had a real impact on me. And I just thought, actually, it kind of reframed the way I was thinking about the return of the show, because, yeah, I want the show to be great, and I want people to come here for, you know, really insightful, knowledgeable wrestling chat. But at the same time, if it's a bit of an escape and it's a bit of fun,
do it.
Let's have a laugh.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you to Gareth, and, you know, just so sorry that you've had such a tough time. But to think that we made any bit of difference is amazing.
Shout out to Gareth.
Yeah. And thank you to all our listeners.
Yeah. GP family.
Over the years, who have made this show what it is. We've got some new, we've got a new face joining us.
Yes.
Max.
Max.
So he
bit
got
of youth.
He got a lot of love.
Yeah.
He did.
On Friday when we dropped the promo. So I've been really impressed with his work. He's been doing great socials. He's a sort of wrestling, I don't know if you call him a journalist, but content creator. He's doing great stuff with WrestleManiacs, so go check him out there. But I first met him, I don't know when you guys met him, but I met him at Clash of the Castle.
Yes. That's when, we brought him. So Ace and I brought him to Clash of the Castle. He was part of the kick out with Ace.
I'd done an interview, because he did a podcast as part of his WrestleMania Maniac brand. I was on that with him. He interviewed me and we had a chat about stuff. So,
because he's been an avid GP listener.
Yeah, it's like full circle for him.
Forever.
Well, do you know what? This is what I didn't quite. I think I do remember him telling me at Clash, but I didn't remember this part, but he said that GP was sort of the first podcast he'd ever listened to, what helped get him into doing it himself. So it's, as you say, it's really beautifully full circle that he's now part of GP. And I was just really, he's a hard worker, he's a lovely guy. So
we'll have to educate him on the 90s though, because I think he kind of missed, you know,
he missed that
boat. So we'll have to give him a bit of,
but I think that might bring interesting.
Yeah.
You know, topics of discussion. So, yeah, Mex, welcome to the family. And we'll do a sort of bit of a rotation of the team. Kev is back. So Kevin Clifton, for new listeners, Strictly Come Dancing champion, star of West End.
I saw him in
stage and screen.
What did I see him in? Strictly Ballroom last year.
Strictly Ballroom. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. He was in Death in Paradise on TV recently.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's proper acting.
Oh, proper acting.
Oh, he was in Father Brown as well, wasn't he? He put that on Instagram.
I think I'm thinking Father Brown.
Yeah.
He wasn't in Death in Paradise. Forget it.
Just credit
one foot in the grave?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So. I don't believe it.
No, right.
That was a good show. Yeah, that was a good show.
Great show.
But yeah, Kevin is back. So we've really got a family. And I'm very excited.
Yeah, but we all are, man. It's going to be great, baby. I can't wait, man.
Yeah, boy. You are my digs. He's my best boy. So, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, where do we start?
I mean, I always said, and I was saying to producer Ben, this first show back is going to be a hot mess.
Yeah. I do like a hot mess, I must say.
But, you know, it's the first one back. To be perfectly honest, I feel quite nervous about it. I have felt quite nervous about it. It's been a long time since I've said hello, you.
Have you not been standing around the house of Katie to practice to get it out?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
We've got a framed bit of artwork by the front door that says "Hello, you."
She bought for me.
But yeah, so I, you know, first show back in a long time. there won't be too much structure today, but I guess we just want to talk about the big talking points.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying about the structure of the show. I don't think we need to break down every single match on every single show.
No.
I think we think about the topics of conversation that are exciting to us, that we're enjoying, or something we're particularly hating, something we're particularly confused by. This week is a prime example.
I was about to say, we've picked probably the best week to come back in terms of newsworthy angles and
so should we just get
big
straight
stories.
Into it? Let's get straight into it. Okay. So Cody Rhodes wins the Rumble.
Yep.
He points to the WrestleMania sign.
Bullet Club style, yeah.
He then turns to the other turnbuckle, climbs up the ropes, and specifically points to Roman Reigns because he is going to finish his story.
Yep.
The story that, I mean, quick opinions. Did you like the fact that he lost at WrestleMania 39?
No.
I generally did because I thought...
Are you talking retrospectively now, though? But
no, at the time.
At the time?
At the time, I felt it was the right decision because I feel like Reigns needs to have a dominant reign, and that's longer than this 2 years or whatever it was at the time. So, I assumed at the time that the reason why Reigns won is because Cody's going to win the following year, which is like the Rocky story. You know, you don't beat the
it's champ. Very Rocky.
Yeah, you don't. And we're in Philly.
Yeah.
So I thought the initial idea was it to be in Philadelphia, Rocky story, Cody finally wins the big one.
Rocky didn't lose, though. Right,
which I think was the plan until a couple of weeks ago.
I didn't like it at the time because I always think if you've got a red hot baby face, you shouldn't miss that opportunity to cash in on it. I mean, they had it with Sami Zayn like a month before that as well, which they could have done.
But doesn't it prove that Cody is the man?
But and
the
I didn't
fact
think
that we came a year later.
Yeah, well, at
he's
that point,
still red hot.
I didn't think they could carry that on. That was my problem. How is Cody going to be? This
I knew
red
they
hot?
Could. I have faith in Cody. I knew how great Cody is. I've known how great he was even way before he left WWE. And I just knew that they can do the long haul game with him. They can still do that even with what's going on now. I just think right now it's a big mistake if they don't strike now. They need to strike now.
So I loved it because I was so shocked by it.
Right.
I was so convinced.
Yeah, we all were. Yeah.
I mean, we all headed into that Mania knowing, not predicting, not guessing, but knowing that Cody was going to beat Roman.
Finish the story.
And then he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so shocked by it. And I remember saying out loud to myself, I can't believe that's just happened.
Right.
And then that hit me in that moment. I was like, and that's why I love it. Because we so rarely get moments that genuinely surprise us. Because we were all so, as I say, we weren't even convinced. We just knew. We knew he was going
to
be Roman.
We were ready to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't even like, okay, we'll wait to the end and we can't. And it wasn't a bad thing. Like, I always think predictable is not always bad if it makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
I agree.
And that at that time did make sense.
It did.
But it was so shocking, and that's why I loved it. And then, you know, they did the press conference afterwards, and Roman was just like, I'm only just getting started. Mm-hmm. You know, all you young kids, you just want the fast food.
Yeah,
I'm here cooking steak, you know. And I just thought, I love this. This is long term. And even Triple H, he said, it's the kind of decision that you lose sleep over.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. And I do think it was a risk. But then I think Cody, as you say, skills remained hot.
Real, like, so hot.
For a whole year.
He's a bona fide star. He's a star.
His star grew. What WWE are incredible at is making stars.
But to be fair, they haven't been always great at making babyface in the last sort of decade or so.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
But what they have done with Cody is amazing.
Yeah.
For someone, if you look back and think, you watch Cody Rhodes be dashing going. I mean, he was always great and he was always very interesting. But if you at that time, if you told me he's going to be the guy, he's going to be you couldn't see, you wanted it because he's a Rhodes, but you couldn't see it. And the transformation, what he's done to go back, to come back.
He's put in.
Oh, it's the whole American Nightmare character. It's just, it's almost like you can't see him as a heel.
And
he's like the perfect baby.
How
face.
Original is he? The way he talks on the mic as well. The way he presents himself is original.
He's a star.
There's no one like Cody.
Yeah.
He doesn't even sound like his dad. He doesn't sound like nobody else. He's just very much something new, and he's injected a whole new life. And like, he can really fly the torch for WWE. He's the new Cena, man. I'm telling you, he's the new Cena. So,
but I think he's more nuanced than Cena. I think there's more levels than into him than
absolutely.
Cena.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I'm not a massive Cena hater, even at the very height. But I think Cody's got, I mean, it does help that the lineage that Cody and the Rhodes family have. But I just feel like there's more to him, and he's just scratching the surface.
How he approaches press conferences and he interacts with the press and the fans, and he's a total different level.
I love him. I think it's really interesting you mentioned Cena, because I think, you know, Cena, franchise player, poster boy for WWE, great promo, could put him on any chat show, has all that. But I think you're right. I think Cody has more layers. I think he's sort of even more articulate with how he presents himself and how he talks. The complete opposite from Dusty in terms of promo, I would say.
Yeah.
But so passionate. And I know, like, we'll probably, for weeks to come, we'll have lots of arguments about CM Punk. However,
save that for Kev. Yeah,
in the same way as Punk, Cody is very real, and what you get, what you see, and what you hear is him.
Yeah,
it's so authentic. And I remember seeing him being interviewed, and he said, "This is me now. Mm. Like, I've reached the level of this game where yes, there might be tweaks to my character here and there, but this is it.
Yeah,
this is me. This is real." Mm. I think he's done an incredible
job. We constantly say, and we've said on this show forever, like, the realism is what makes a character.
Yep.
Like, that's what we want to see. We want that. You know, we love all the over-the-top stuff, and it's part of the WWE package, but you break down those barriers, you peer behind that curtain and bring the realism into it, and as a character, as a storyline, whatever, we're suckers. We're absolute suckers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So he wins the Rumble for the second year in a row. And just to remind everyone, the company he's keeping there, the only three other men to win two Rumbles back to back are Hogan, Shawn Michaels, and Steve Austin.
Cold Steve Austin.
And if I just look at the 2K poster, Hogan, Austin, Shawn Michaels, they're all there. They're all there. So he's keeping incredible company. He is the face of the company, we know. However, The Rock, he basically stepped aside for The Rock on SmackDown, so Rock could, and this has not been confirmed and it hasn't been announced, as WWE were very clear on saying last night on Raw, we'll find out more this Thursday at the Vegas press conference, but seemingly the time now is right for Rock to return to the company and have this big long-awaited match with his cousin Roman Reigns. A match, by the way, we need to be really clear about, is a very exciting prospect.
Yeah.
But to do it at the expense of Cody?
Yeah.
2 years into, you know, this story and him finishing his story.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, our sponsors, WWE 2K24, he is the cover star, and their tagline is, I mean, I was talking to them the other day, they were like, our whole thing is built around finish the story.
Yeah.
Like,
it does add more intrigue to it, though.
No, so
much. Now, have we been played?
I think we
have. We been
worked? I don't think initially we were.
No, I don't think initially we
were. I think they've seen the reaction, and they're now thinking, okay, we need to change this up. And I think they're hoping that throughout the weeks, Cody gets the reception Daniel Bryan once got with the Yes Movement. I think they're really hoping that. I'm hoping that, I don't know how they're going to do it, but they pivot back to Cody and Reigns.
They do it, well, the way they do it, and the way I think they will do it now, before I, you know, skipping forward a few conversations, is that they'll do, Roman will do double duty. I think it's the only way they can rectify this now, is to have Rock Roman night one, Roman goes over, Cody Roman night two, and we get finished the story, we end WrestleMania with what we all want to see, what the fans want to see. I think that's where we now have to get to, but I do believe, you know, go back to Friday night, that there was a panic situation, whether that be the CM Punk injury, whether that be the off shenanigans that we've heard of that we're not going to talk about, but we all know that are happening in the, you know, someone who's not with the company anymore, whether it was a relation to that. We've heard all these stories that the Rock's lobbied for this match as well. I can't see, other than panic, why they would do it this way. Because what they've somehow done is made the match, as you said, Roman versus Rock, the match we all wanted. Like, let's get us wrong, everyone wants to see that match.
And that's been like 4 years.
Four years in the making. Yeah. But they've made it less, like, fans don't kind of want to see it as much now. They've taken the heat off that match.
Yeah.
That's true.
And they've turned Rocky heel. Like,
but this
it's the Rock.
Yeah.
There were Rocky Sucks chants on Raw.
Yeah, I mean, like,
is this 1996?
Exactly, yeah. Cole.
The Rocky Sock Chance. I would love to see a corporate Rock again, though. This time, he's actually corporate.
I don't think they're going to do that now.
He's actually corporate. He's TKO. Yeah. He's on the board. And his daughter is a...
She's in NXT. Yeah. She's the NXT
general manager.
Corporate Rock with his daughter. That would be some great TV.
I mean, there's something in that. I mean, I don't know if you want to kind of bring the... Ash, bless you for saying you don't want to talk about it. I think you were just worried about what I would say. But we absolutely can and should talk about Vince.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to... Well, nor should we get into the nitty-gritty details because essentially this is a legal case.
Yeah.
But, I mean, absolutely we can say that if this is all true... And we've all seen the text messages and the screen grabs and the allegations. It is horrendous. He brings absolutely nothing to the table when it comes to WWE, and he should have left a long time ago. He has no value there and no place there. And he has bought us so many years of entertainment over the years. Of course, we can't deny that. However... Just some of the stuff you read in the report is just dreadful and horrendous. So good riddance, I would say. But, you know, the thing is, so according to Meltzer, right, the deal for Rock to join the TKO board, so he was announced to be on the board of directors, a couple of weeks
ago. One of Triple H's bosses now, which is kind of bizarre when you think about it.
I love that.
So apparently the deal for Rock to join the board of TKO, which is obviously the company, the group company that houses both UFC and WWE, and headline WrestleMania, that decision was made on January the 3rd, which begs the question, why proceed with Cody winning the Rumble match? Unless, as we're talking about, it was a work. Maybe they are clever enough to know the backlash and how much social media attraction it would.
I just can't see what they gain out. Other than,
like, have they learnt from the Daniel Bryan situation and thought, let's use this?
But if that's the case, then why make Cody step aside? That's the bit that really annoys me. Like, I don't want to see a triple threat, but if you're going to give us a triple threat, then give us a triple threat.
Triple threats don't work.
It is what it is, right? But... Don't make Cody Rhodes be like, you know what? I'm not going to come for you this year. It doesn't make any sense.
It's not the story. No. Like, he doesn't want to go and, you know, he's like, I'll do it at some other point. Like, no, you finish your story on the grandest stage of them all, beating the champ that's been champion for 10 million days. Like, that's the story.
Or is the only thing bigger, maybe not in scale, but in terms of story... and heightening the emotion, is the only thing bigger than Cody finishing the story in Philly in a stadium at WrestleMania, him beating Roman in the garden where his dad didn't win the belt.
Is there an event for it coming up that's in the garden?
It's easy to organise.
That's a way. But if...
The new Netflix deal... Could it be they're waiting for that?
We've been conditioned, haven't we, as wrestling fans, that, you know, it's WrestleMania, that's the stage. And I always feel like the 10 years of WrestleMania, so the 30, the 20, always feels like they sort of anoint a new, like it was Daniel Bryan, obviously, wasn't it, at 30. So it feels like they anoint the new guy, the new face. And obviously Daniel Bryan was never quite the face, but for that year or 18 months he was...
His first title defense was against Kane.
Yeah, exactly. I just think that is the place you do it. And his consolation prize really can't be Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is doing great things with that belt. He's made it something. But essentially you're giving Cody the participation trophy. That's what you're giving him.
So this is... there's so much to talk about and there's so little time. Who looks really bad here is Seth Rollins.
Yeah, which is unfair.
Seth is pitching to Cody, come and fight me for my belt.
Yeah.
It's not a good look on Rollins.
No, it's not.
I totally agree that it's made Cody look weak. And the thing is, and you're right, this is what, I guess the argument for, they know what they're doing. Mm. They're doing this on purpose to get all the social attraction and make WrestleMania the number one talking point on Twitter. It's called X now. We've been away that long.
Totally.
It's called X. Yeah. Terrible name.
No one calls it that.
Terrible name. But you could say, they knew what they were doing. But I think you're right. I think that the stepping aside
yeah.
makes him look weak. So unless he very soon, and it's kind of got to be Thursday.
Thursday is a big day. Yeah.
It's the big press conference. It's called the WrestleMania kickoff press event. We need answers as to what the title matches are going to be. I would hope that the Seth Rollins match will be the winner of the chamber.
Yeah.
Which, in my opinion, should be Sami Zayn. I think that's a great Rocky story.
Mm.
And if you watch the interview he did on Raw.
They had a match recently
on Raw, haven't they?
They could do that.
Yeah.
I just think the fans would love that.
It'll be a good way to give him the title and then have a new feud. Who I think it will be if he does win the belt with Damian Priest. So if Sami beats Seth,
that's hanging in the round.
And then Damian catches
Drew.
In.
Well, Drew's my. I think he's earned it in the last few weeks.
Yeah, we got to talk about Drew, man. I mean,
I love the missing piece of the puzzle is there now.
Yeah,
him being this
snidey,
this awful, horrible guy. The fact they're selling t-shirts with him on the CM Punk's WrestleMania main event grave is excellent. Yeah. He's doing really, really good work. Yeah. And he's taking to social and he's building storylines outside of TV.
And it's been slow build as well. Like he's been tweening for 6-7 months and you've been waiting for it. And to be fair, the CM Punk injury, kind of that was the moment that tipped him over the edge and now could propel him into that. If it's not Cody, and I really hope it's not Cody's, and because we've seen Cody Rollins at WrestleMania, we've probably seen it too much. I know you could go back and say, it's a rivalry, but I think we've seen it too much. I think he's earned that shot at Seth. And I mean, it won't main event, and I feel a bit sorry for Seth because I think he is a main event WrestleMania worthy competitor.
He is, yeah.
But I don't think there's a match that he can have now. I think it was Punk, obviously. I think that was probably the plan. But I don't think he's going to be that last match on the card on night one. I hope, and I think the only way they can do it, as I said, I think it will be Roman doing double duty.
I don't think Roman's going to be doing double duty. I think what's going to happen is they're going to tease The Rock. I think they've realized, okay, we're not going to do Roman now. And I think The Rock will be showing up on SmackDown as, you know, facing off against Reigns, and the Bloodline will injure The Rock. And then that's when Cody steps back in.
No, but you can't have...
You don't think so?
Because that makes Cody look weak.
It was like the understudy then, didn't it?
Yeah, he steps aside for The Rock. Oh, now Rock's hurt.
It does.
He'll step back in. I think... I mean, listen, he could... If my theory about Madison Square Garden and something to really dive into that story with his dad, and that is finishing the story in this same arena where he thought as a kid his dad won the belt, but actually it was a DQ or a count-out finish, whatever it was, so he didn't win the championship. If they want to push that... And I think that's a real Triple H thing to do in terms of great storytelling and amazing creative. However, we need the answers quickly because fans are turning on The Rock. And I can't imagine he's going to go to Vegas at a WrestleMania kickoff event and talk about another event.
Yeah.
They are there to promote WrestleMania. So if we disregard that theory, I think the only thing, Ash, as you say, I think you're right. I think Cody needs to interrupt this press conference and he needs to say, Rock took me aside. He said, my time is limited.
Mm.
I only really have this one chance to put my cousin down, to prove I am better than him, to
head
prove
of the table.
I am the head of the table. Please give me this opportunity. I know you've won your shot. You won the Rumble, but WrestleMania is my only chance. He could say, he's on the board of TKO. You know, he
How
is
could
the
I say
Rock.
No? Yeah.
How could I say no? But then he needs to say, but the people's reaction to Rock has made me, and to me, and hashtag we want Cody, has made me realize that the roads don't step aside for no one.
Yes. And, I like that.
And if you want Roman, you have him on Saturday night. And because you're old and you can't go anymore, I know Roman's going to beat you. And then I'll have Roman Sunday. That's the only way to do it.
Yes, yeah. They could even throw in.
Because then he's not looking weak in any way. He's going, okay, my head was turned. Rock made me convinced that, you know, he convinced me that I should step aside for the greater good, for the great one. But actually, no.
But don't you think that's a bit too predictable? Because that's the kind of takes away from the Rhodes match. Because now you're like, well, Reigns is definitely going to beat The Rock. What's the point even watching a match if you know Reigns is going to win?
Because it's Rock versus Roman.
Because whatever the situation, Roman's going to win.
No, I know that. But if you need to have some sort of
jeopardy. I know.
Yeah, like suspend the belief a little bit. You know, you kind of know what's going to happen. But then there needs to be a little
WrestleMania
bit of
30.
Maybe that's not going to happen.
We all knew Daniel Bryan's going to win, but we all lapped it up.
Not always.
Oh, we did. We knew that he was going to finish that story.
Hey, the way they were treating Bryan, I was a bit like, they better pull the trigger.
But their hand was forced. We knew he was going to beat Triple H. Mm-hmm. We knew he was then going to win.
I hear what you're saying. The
triple threat. I just...
Would you have Cody do double duty as well so they even up the odds? So make Cody throw a stipulation that Cody has to face Solo. And if he loses to Solo, he loses his shot. If he beats Solo, he gets the night two.
I like that.
So they both have double duty.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Give that Solo something to do
as well.
Yeah,
give Solo as well, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, that's quite good. What would Rock's opinion be on that?
Wait, that
I guess that doesn't really matter
what Rock thinks of that. Rock's just concentrating on trying to beat his cousin.
They've got to turn
the Rock back because they do not want to have the main event of WrestleMania booed out the building in Philadelphia.
Well, and lest we forget, Royal Rumble 2015, when Rock and Roman were last in the ring together, they got booed out the building. Reports were at the time that Rock's team, like Brian Gewartz, you know, the team around him said, distance yourself from Roman because we don't want you.
That was in Philly as well, wasn't it?
That was in Philly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And you know, he was encouraged not to share the ring or be around Roman much because of the bad reactions that Roman was getting at the time. And they didn't want Rock to be faced with those bad crowd reactions.
Right.
But if they go back to Philly,
it's going to be worse.
With this current situation going
on,
it's
going to be bad.
It's going to be horrendous.
It's going to be bad.
But it's got us talking though, isn't it?
It's got everyone talking.
And do you know what? And I was watching Raw yesterday morning and I was just like, I love wrestling.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't say much,
they
really did was promote the press conference where we're gonna get answers. But just the talk of this has been trending worldwide for 72 hours.
Yeah.
Look at, you know, Pat McAfee, love him on commentary, by the way, him talking about the emotion that Cody brings out of people. This is, like, I've got goosebumps thinking about it. This is all me. Storytelling. And that is what Triple H has brought to the table.
100%. Yeah.
And that is why I am, please say Triple H didn't know anything.
Yeah. I don't think he did.
I don't want Triple H going anywhere.
Yeah.
But can I just say, I put this on Twitter at the time, I was baffled by how they handled the Royal Rumble press conference. And I know Triple H is on the creative side and shouldn't necessarily be answering questions about the Vince McMahon lawsuit and the allegations. However, the company decided to put Triple H in that position with press there. And people can say what they like about the WWE media events and those press conferences. I've been to them.
We both have.
We've been to them. Yeah. No one tells you what to ask.
No.
I have never been told not to ask something. It's on live TV, well, not live TV, but live on the network and social media. They had journalists in the room who were obviously going to ask him about Vince. So therefore, whoever they put in that chair needs to respond in some way.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, what he should have done is he should have come out with a prepared statement.
Yeah. Got it done. Get
and
it out
just
of the
said
way.
He has resigned. You know, he is no longer affiliated with TKO or WWE. We are doing everything in our power to make sure the working environment is safe and the culture is good. You know, something that was a prepared statement and just said, I can't answer any further questions about it because it's a legal matter. But instead, Triple H went out there, and I love Triple H. I'm a massive fan of Triple H. I've got a lot of time for him. He's always been very lovely to us. But for him to be put in that position and fumble through answers and then admit he hasn't even read the lawsuit.
Which is...
Yeah, that was a bit weird.
It was a bad look.
Even if that's true, you don't say it.
I mean...
To be fair to him,
he's read it.
Yeah, he did address that they are doing everything in their power to make sure that it's a working, safe environment for the employees now.
Yes, he did say that.
But you are right. He didn't really... I mean...
And
personally, for me, I get it because that's the man's son-in-law, you know? So I saw it as a man that don't even want to talk about anything that could remotely offend his wife or anything. So
don't put him out
but
there,
But you are right. And in a day, his position in the role, he has to address
He's in a tough spot. He's in a hugely tough spot. What he actually should have done in a prepared statement is said, I'm going to read a statement because obviously I know that this needs to be addressed. The following is from our president of WWE, Nick Khan.
Yeah.
And then he should have read Nick's statement.
No more questions. That's no further questions.
That is what should have happened.
Absolutely.
I totally appreciate Triple H.
To the point we've been through, how good was Cody's response?
Oh,
Cody's response was brilliant.
Like, the man's just...
He's the guy.
He just knows. He knows the business. Like, I know it's easy to say because he's been born and bred in it, but like, the way he handles himself is just, it's remarkable.
Absolutely.
For someone like that.
Absolutely.
The fact that his response was, this has been a brilliant week.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, and that only came from the fact that he was unprepared.
Yeah.
Like, of course it's been a brilliant week. They've just signed a $5 billion Netflix deal, which, by the way, doubly on Netflix. I mean.
Sorry, Dig Big.
Sorry, Diggs. It's all right. It's just applause. Yeah. It's fine. For a big $5 million Netflix deal.
Which we're all very happy about.
Yeah, he's lying down now. He's happy about that. But we can all lie down and enjoy WWE on Netflix.
That's brilliant. Netflix and
that
WWE.
Is superb. So, you know.
A new way of Netflix and chill, baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, if Stone Cold was still an active member of the roster, the phrase could have been, God, this is going to be so awful, Netflix and Chili McFreeze. Because that was his name that Vince wanted to get.
It's niche, I'll give you that.
Niche, if anything. Football's niche.
Football's far from niche.
Footy.
Lads.
It had been a great week in terms of business and the Netflix deal and Dwayne The Rock Johnson becoming part of
the Rumble, the TKO
board of directors and the Rumble. Of course, from a business transactions point of view, it had been a good week. But for him to respond to the Vince allegations, which were so desperately horrendous, by saying, it's been a great week and I want to concentrate on the positives.
No.
Such a misguided, misjudged... Just tonally...
Tone deaf,
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Incorrect. So I thought they mishandled it really, really quite badly. We should probably wrap this up soon. I mean, we've talked so much about Cody. Can I just say, it's great to be back.
Yeah,
man.
It's great to be back.
But chewing the fat.
Ben, are you enjoying yourself?
Loving it, mate.
What are the jingles have we got? We've got all our new kit here, so we're having a bit
special.
Of a play. Here we go.
What is this?
Hit the boys with one of the bloopers.
And I know that you only have to make it higher.
Good old Sid.
Here we go.
And I have half the brain that you do.
Right, this is my favourite. It kind of went under the radar a bit. Can we play the Shane McMahon one that we loaded into the system?
Because what's going to happen is you're going to go to hit me and I'm going to miss.
Shane.
Oh, God.
Because he knows. That's a Freudian slip if ever I've heard one.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't show up at Mania this year.
I don't think a McMahon's going anywhere near.
This is the first time.
There'll be no McMahon's, right? Yeah.
Obviously, you'll know, like, people are slagging me off on social media because obviously Triple H is in the family because he's married to Steph. But in terms of blood. McMahon,
the bloodline.
This is the first time no McMahons have ever been present.
I thought I would never see that.
In any capacity, creative or otherwise.
That's crazy.
Nothing to do with WWE.
That is crazy.
We're in a very different world.
We really are. And I mean, do we need to talk about other stuff that's changed since GP?
There's been a lot in 3 years.
So Vince McMahon gone.
Mm. And then came back.
And then, weaseled his way
kind
back
of came
in.
Back.
But now he's gone. And rightly so. CM Punk is back.
And then went again because of injury.
No, but he's
gone again.
No,
but he is back.
He is back.
And a lot of
Well, actually, people that follow us on social will know this, but I was in Chicago Allstate Arena for Punk's return.
I love that for you, James. You were so emotional.
I nearly fainted.
Yeah, you were so emotional. But you deserve it. I was thinking, if anybody who get to see that live, I'm so glad it was you.
Thank you, mate.
So, no, man, because like, you've always, you know, threw the torch for CM Punk. So
for Phil and his disgruntles.
Yeah, got a framed picture of him there.
Is his tail behind his in his legs there?
I mean, you can pick it up if you want. Yeah.
Here he comes. Slagging WWE.
Oh, there we go. Broken the studio already.
Breaking the studio. Sorry, guys.
CM Punk. There's my boy.
Team Drew.
There's my boy.
Team Drew.
You're having a laugh saying that to me. But what was brilliant is in 2014, after he left, the day after the Rumble, when he walked out, a couple of months later in the March, WWE were back at the Allstate Arena, and it was the time, it was the height of the Shield and the Wyatt. Okay, I remember there was a big six-man tag match. But I was in Chicago. I was doing it was something for MTV, and I was interviewing Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad, who was doing a cameo on WWE. So I went to Raw, recorded in an interview with Aaron Paul for MTV, but I was there to enjoy Raw. And it being back in Chicago 2 months after Punk had left, everyone was, it was where like Hijack Raw started. Big trend on Twitter. Yeah. And I was convinced that Punk was going to come back. And I think they even played his music, but Paul Heyman came out instead.
Yeah, sure. Right, yeah.
But correct. I was so hoping, and this was 2 months after he left, and I waited 10 years.
Yeah.
And I happened to be in the same building when he came back.
You bet you're glad you went in the press bit, because they all missed that, all the press.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
I sort of hate going to the press conferences. Because you missed
the end.
You missed the end?
Yeah.
A Clash of the... Well, to be honest... It was
Tyson Fury having a sing-along.
Tyson Fury bit.
What was all that?
Yeah. The state of it.
So I didn't mind missing that. But yeah, if I was at the press and Punk came out and I had to...
They were all watching. I saw the clips. They were all watching it around the monitor. You're in this little press room and you're missing...
I would have been fuming, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No, I'm happy Punk's back, man. I'm a Punk fan. And look, already as soon as he's come back, look at the great material he's already come. Him and the promo with him and Cody, one of the best things I've ever seen.
When Cody out promoed him,
hey man, that was part of the story.
When Drew out promoed him,
that was part of the story.
Ben, can you lose Ash's mic?
Punk, they're making sure Punk doesn't react to anything at this present time. They're saving Punk to snap back when he comes back as a heel.
Don't upset little right Phil. Now,
no, just that's what it is. I think Punk is just on his P's and Q's at this moment.
When the tough gets going, Punk gets going, or whatever he said.
Because Punk needs to...
You messed that one up.
Yeah, I did. Damn you, Drew.
Punk needs to prove himself. He needs to prove that he's back with humility. He's back. He actually wants to give back to the younger generation. He actually wants to actively be there, which he looks like that's what he's been doing. He looks like he's training with NXT talent, preparing for Royal Rumble. He looks very excited to be there. He's very happy to be there. He's being very different. So I think we're not getting that old school Punk at this moment of time, because he needs to, you know.
There are so many things I want to say. I probably will wait until Kev's on the show, because actually, so I went to the premiere of Iron Claw with Kev the other day. A thoroughly good film.
Okay, good.
I'm really hugely recommend it. So the story of the Von Erichs, obviously. It's out in the cinemas
Friday.
Friday,
yeah.
So we went to the premiere the other day, superb film, but me and Kev got into a row about CM Punk. So He's very anti-punk.
He's my kind of guy.
But I will have this argument with Punk.
Yeah,
all I will say about CM Punk, and nobody can argue this, you two certainly shouldn't be able to argue this.
I mean,
he is a Bret Hart guy.
And so am I.
His favorite of all time is Bret Hart. Yeah. So therefore, you can't say anything negative about Punk. Okay?
I'm with you with like I'm Punk on the is, Punk train.
Punk is old school.
People are allowed to like.
That's because he's like our age. That's
when he's having a go at idiots like Jungle Boy about using real glass. Yeah. Yeah, he's doing that. But for the safety of the performance.
But he was right there. I don't think a lot of people. I don't think Kevin would disagree with Punk there. You know, I just think like we have to be fair. Punk hasn't handled himself in the best ways in these, you know, with these flare-ups. But I do agree with Punk's morals. Like, I agree with, I side with him because I understand him. I actually do understand Punk. I understand his point. But there's some, there has been cases where he hasn't always handled himself in the best way.
But what people forget is that we are getting into it, aren't we? Ben, how long have we got? Start wrapping up. Start wrapping up.
I know, because I'm holding back for Kev. So, yeah.
But you know, people think he's got this bad attitude and always cause problems everywhere he goes. He's the cancer of the locker room, etc. People forget he had like an 8-year run with WWE,
yep,
where for a lot of the time he was booked appallingly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And creative dropped the ball with him
and didn't see anything in him.
And he had to fight and scratch and claw. Yep. And he didn't leave after every argument.
No.
He even when he was champ and they misused him. Even, you know, everyone talks about the brilliance of the Summer of Punk.
Yep.
After the promo, it all went downhill from there. Yep. After the big win against John Cena, it all went downhill because of creative.
Yep.
They could have done so many incredible things, but they didn't. He still didn't leave. He was there for another 3 years.
Yep.
So it's not like he just takes his ball and leaves.
That's right.
Whenever he's got an issue. He did leave in spectacular fashion.
Yep.
Because it got to that point and he just had to walk away. In AEW, I think things are run very differently. The talents are the EVPs.
Yes, it's a very different environment.
As he said, there's a lot of young talents there who don't want to learn from the veterans.
Nope.
I do understand why, you know.
I totally agree. Absolutely.
There.
I totally agree with Punk. I think they mistreated him, personally.
But, you know, so yes, he's had those two big fallouts with two different companies. But look at the greatest performers of all time in this industry. Hulk Hogan had massive problems with WWE.
Austin walked out before a massive promoted
live TV show against Brock Lesnar. He walked out and had that big falling out with Vince.
Yep.
Bruno Sammartino.
Yep.
Ultimate Warrior.
Yep.
Bret Hart.
Yep.
Shawn Michaels at one point.
Yep.
The greatest, like, you have to have an ego in this industry. Mm-hmm. Some of the greatest in the history of this business have walked out and had big fallings out, whether it was with Vince or the company or other execs. And I just think everyone is labeling Punk this cancer of the locker room. I just don't buy it.
I don't buy it either.
Yeah, skills.
I'm going to be outnumbered, so I'm going to wait till Kev and save a retort for that.
Okay.
We're back. We're glad you're back. And we're glad GP's back.
Yeah. Yes.
Just so I'm not lambasted on social media for just laying
which I encourage
laying
at WWE
down
GP.
And let you two win. You're right, a lot of the points you just said about Punk.
Thank
but
you.
A lot of those talents that walked out came back. They didn't spend 10 years slagging WWE off to walk back in.
Sammartino did.
Warrior did.
Warrior did. Anyone cared, and the Warrior was the Warrior. I think that's what a lot of the bad taste that Punk lives in might have. Like, for 10 years, he didn't want to be part of it. He did that famous AEW promo where he said, I'm now in a wrestling company. And
I know, yeah. I agree.
I would say, and this is a personal opinion, I don't think he's of any level of the talents you mentioned. I always never saw Punk.
Even on the mic?
What? You don't think he's better than Ultimate Warrior?
Well, not Warrior, but that's a different. But like, you know, Austin was Austin.
Yeah,
right? You know, Hogan's Hogan. I don't think Punk's ever been Punk. And that was his problem. And that's still my problem, that I think he thinks he is. And I just never seen him like that.
Listen,
even the pipe bomb, well done. But after that, promos, he's a great promo guy. Is he the best?
Would you not say Punk is the biggest star from the generation that Punk came to WWE in?
No. Punk. Well, what generation would that? So John Cena's.
No, but Cena was just a bit before. So I'd say from 06, 05.
But it depends how you just kind of start. I would say, what, a mainstream star or a wrestling star? My sister wouldn't know who CM Punk is.
Okay, he's the biggest wrestling star.
I don't know if he is. He's never main evented WrestleMania.
That is crazy, Ash.
Your sister's an idiot.
that's for another debate, but... that's how I define. That's my barometer for a mainstream star. If my sister, who knows nothing about
Punk, is the biggest name.
What in? Yeah, but you're just choosing a little time. I could say Seth Rollins is the biggest name of the last 5 years.
Seth Rollins is not a biggest star.
Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins is the biggest star.
No,
he's
not.
Yes, he is.
No,
he's not. Absolutely.
But what I will say, just, you know, it's all subjective, of course. My thing with Punk and why I was so absolutely delighted that he came back. And listen, I loved a lot of his AEW run. Mm-hmm. I thought the stuff... I mean, we haven't even talked about MJF on this show.
No.
What an incredible talent.
The angle with MJF.
What an incredible talent. But you know, MJF Punk in AEW, I thought was some of the best storytelling I've ever seen in wrestling.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, WWE or otherwise, absolutely incredible. So I enjoyed a lot that initial return when he came back, when he, you know, first arrived in AEW in August 2021, I thought was absolutely just incredible. But I was so pleased to see him back in WWE because for me, and this is what it comes down to, and this
finishing the story, right?
And this, yeah, this is why
there's only one story that needs finishing.
This is why wrestling is great, is that he connects emotionally with me from 20, I would say 2009 onwards. I saw something in him. I was like, I connect to you. I can't stop looking at you. I'm not sure why, but you've got me. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And when you have that connection with the talent, you have it forever.
And there's so many others that he connects with. Like, look at the numbers when he returned that Survivor Series.
You can't deny the numbers.
Seth Rollins would not have made those numbers.
I think Seth Rollins would.
No, Ash.
And just to tie a bow on this really nicely, and this is how we can wrap up the episode. We were talking about Cody Rhodes, and I think we talked for the majority of the episode about Cody Rhodes. Cody winning the big one wouldn't just be the culmination of his story.
Mm.
It would be the payoff to the call for a revolution in WWE that began with Punk's pipe bomb promo 13 years ago.
That's why Cody's more CM Punk than CM Punk.
Because he's actually done it.
Because he's actually done what he
can do. I give Cody that. He did do everything that Punk said he would do.
That's, I mean, and of course, no, we've stopped. But that's another thing with Punk. I don't think there's a lot of unfulfilled nonsense, you know, voice of the voiceless. I don't buy it all.
There was a little thing on WWE social where he had surgery and he said, I'm about to do the best comeback of all time. Big words.
Do you think your main event next year's WrestleMania?
Yes.
Against who?
Reigns.
MJF.
That's a big shout.
Anyway. Seth. Anyway. Welcome back, boys.
Yes.
Good
to be back.
It's been fun.
Yeah, We're back.
I didn't know how I was going to feel, but I feel very good. And I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
So thank flexing you to everyone.
Flexing those wrestling muscles.
I'm excited for the rest of the year, man. Let's kill it, guys, man.
We're going to do some great stuff. We've got watch parties coming along. So, you know, we've done some official WWE premium live event watch parties. Any of you listeners who came to the SummerSlam one and WrestleMania one last year, you know what to expect. Great production value, free merch.
Loot.
2K game stations. Free food. I mean, got free food at our watch parties.
Can't ever turn down free food.
No. And all free to get in.
Bloody love
how
free
cool
food.
Was that? I can't promise that will be the situation in the upcoming events. all to be worked out. But what I'm saying is the previous events were free to get in. But we've got so much fun stuff coming up. And I'm glad, do you know what? I'm so glad we're back. So glad we're back. Thank you to everyone for the support once again. Go and check out our website. It's basically a landing page for all our to click out to all our socials and to, you know, to follow the podcast and everything. But wwegp.co.uk, wwegp.co.uk, and you can sign up to our newsletter there to be the first to hear all our news. Skills, gosh, it's been so long since I'm really genuinely getting into the rhythm of things. Skills, where can people find you on the social?
You can follow
me on
all social media platforms at Skillet World, SKILLIT World.
Yay.
And Ash, where can people find you?
Can I say hello? It's been a while.
Yeah.
Come and say hello at Ash Rose UK.
Lovely stuff. And you can follow me at James Delo on Instagram. I've sort of given up Twitter.
I don't blame you.
Legs.
I don't blame you.
I love it for GP.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I obviously run that account. But my personal account, I can't be bothered.
Follow. Subscribe.
At WBGP. Got this cool little prop in the studio.
Nice,
it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it.
Anyway, thank you so much. Thank you so, so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the show. It's been messy, but that's just how we like it.
Yeah.
Just how we like it.
Oh, yeah.
We want Cody.
Thank you to our brilliant sponsors, WWE 2K, the brand new video game. It's out March 8th, just a few weeks' time, with the release date for the deluxe edition March the 5th, 3 days earlier, and 40 years of WrestleMania edition. That's also out on the 5th. Pre-order it now. You can see the link in the description of this show. Thank you to 2K. And thank you everyone for listening. This has been a Star Trek Media production. We shall see you next week.
Gorilla Position.